I just mentioned something before we start. Yesterday we were speaking about Ma'ariv, whether to daven Ma'ariv before B'dikas Chametz or not. And I mentioned that Mishabura and many other Paiskim are of the opinion that one should daven Ma'ariv if that's a set time for davening. He should daven Ma'ariv before. However, there is a discussion in the Mishabura about one who davens b'yichidus. And Mishmur says someone who does not normally daven b'yechidus, it's a question whether he should daven first or do the b'dikah first. And I think this is very negay to where we're holding right now. Hopefully, by the time b'dikah comes night comes around, we'll be able to leave to daven. But if not, then Mishmur discusses someone who has to daven at home. And he gives the etzah that he should have someone else start the bedika while he's davening, so he could do both at the same time. And if he can't, then he should daven first. Someone who always davens at home, but we're not worried that he's going to forget to daven, so then he'll do the bedika first and daven later. But in general, one should daven, if he doesn't have someone else to do the bedika for him or with him, he should daven first and then do the bedika because the tadeh v'sheinei tadeh. Okay. I just want to point out to everyone who's listening that there are the questions will be at the end. There'll be questions at the end. The if we could if anyone is interested, there's a booklet on Hilchos Pesach which we put out in past years on the ZNT website. There is shiurim there also on Hilchos Pesach. One can find them over there. Okay, as we're all signing in. Oh, 2 o'clock. Okay. So first of all, welcome to everyone. I'm excited to once again talk and learning with everyone, with all my good friends out there. I would like to continue with halachas that are negated to the bedikas chametz, and then move on to bittel and sreifas chametz. And if we have time to get back to more pratim in the cleaning around the house for Pesach, and including what our achrayis is during the bedika. So the Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Dalet Amud Aleph that everyone agrees that Ar is referring to the night. And the Gemara has a discussion, why is the night better for Bidika than during the day? During the day, there's light. So the Gemara brings down a svara that since it's a time when people are found in their house, so they will convey it at night. The shash me'adam mitzvim b'batim. And the second svara is v'ar haneh yafla Bidika. The light of the candle is good for the Bidika at night. Rashi says, because during the day, it's machshek, it makes darken. And Rashi points out that even though one is possible to be baidik by the light of the day, however, yalfinan, we have a yalfusa, we have a limit from psukim, that the mitzvah is davka with the ner, and the ner gives off better light at night than during the day. The Mishmura quotes this svara in order to explain why Bidika is with the Ar Haneh, because with the light of the candle, one could check the Chayrim Vizdokin. As we mentioned yesterday, that the one of the main purposes of the Bidika is to now check in the cracks and the crevices in the walls and the floors to make sure there's no chametz over there. So with a light of a candle, it's much clearer and easier to get to. The Gemara brings down a limud. Mitzia, mi mitzia, mitzia, from chippas, chippas, from chippas, chippas, from neir, neir, from neir, to teach us that one should use a neir. There's a mashmais in some rishainim, it's only asmachta. Other rishainim learn that it's actually a real limud, that one should use the art of a neir. The Gemara continues and tells us that one should not use the light of a sun, the light of the moon, the light of a torch. It should be Ar Haneh, the light of a candle, because the Ar Haneh is Yafa Lebedika. It's perfect for the Bedika. The Gemara then discusses what's considered arachama, what is the scenario that the Gemara, that we're referring to in the Braisa, that one is doing bedik with the light of the sun. And the Gemara says we're talking about a sky roof where the sun is shining in through the window on the roof, and one is using the light of the sun to check. Magen Avraham goes a step further. Magen Avraham says that from here we see that a window, if there's a chaloin, the lashon of the Magen Avraham is chaloin sheish by mechitza shel zchuchit, a chaloin which has a glass mechitza, according to everyone, is usa to check absid. If there's a glass between the light of the arhaner and the place where we're checking, then we cannot. It's not going to be a good bedika. The Das Torah, the Maharsham, writes that that's dafk in those days when the glass wasn't so clear as our glass, and therefore the glass is darkening the light of the candle, and one will not be able to do the bedika properly. However, nowadays that our glass is zach benaki, it's clean and clear, one could be makel even though there's a glass between the light of the candle and the bedika. The Aruch HaShulchan speaks out how the importance of the Arhaner. He speaks out the importance of the Arhaner, that the Arhaner, why is it Dafka the Arhaner, not the Ar of the Levana of the moon? The moon also gives off light. It says even though the night of the 14th, the moon shines very strongly at that time of the month, still we need Dafka the Arhaner, because the Arhaner is Yafel Abedika. And he goes on to be Mayrach on this point, how there's no better light than the light of the Ner, which is interesting. The Yishalmi even says that the best time for the candle to give off light is in the beginning of the night. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in discussing, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that our avuka has to be a ner and not a avuka. Avuka means a torch. But what's the gedder to avuka? Rama explains, yechidi, a single wick. But if you have two neros together, two wicks which are kluim, which are braided together, that has a din of a avuka. And that's not allowed. The Mishnah goes so far to say that the d'yevet, if someone checked with the ar avuka, his bedika wasn't chal, and he will have to do a new bedika. He will have to go check now with the ar neyichidi. It's mashma from the Mishnah that you'll do over the bedika without a bracha. There are other places held with a bracha, but one would have to do another bedika. And as the Aruch HaShulchan over there is also Mayrach on this point, how there's nothing better than the simple Arhaneh. This all takes us to a discussion in the Paiskim about using electricity. Do I need to turn off the lights at the time of the bedika, or using a flashlight? Can I use a flashlight? And the Nidoinim over here that are being discussed by the Paiskim are based on these Svaris and these Makaris that we just mentioned. Number one, Mitzad the Limud of Ner Ner. That Limud that the Gemara brought down earlier, that we brought down earlier from the Gemara, that once she's a Ner, is a Dafka a Ner? Eish? Does Chashmal, does electricity have a din of Eish? Number two, the Svara that the Gemara gave was, that's Yafa Lebedika. The Arhaner is Yafa for Bedika. And we pointed out that even the Arhachama doesn't work because it's not as Yafa as the Ner. So perhaps electricity, a flashlight, is also not as Yafa as a Ner. Number three, perhaps as a din of Avuka. And even if you're going to say that Avuka is not good, but perhaps sometimes Avuka is good. If the reason for why Avuka is not good is because you're going to be nervous to go check in the chayr in the stockim, when you have a burning fire, a big fire, you're not going to go look in the cracks. You might cause a fire. So perhaps when you're using a flashlight or using electricity, There's no chishash of this, even if a fuka doesn't work, but perhaps this will work. And number four, the Magen Avraham that we saw that said that when there's a zechuchis, there's a mechitza of a zechuchis, one should not use that and doesn't work for bedika. Is that a chsarin when dealing with a light bulb or a flashlight? So this is again a discussion in many different paiskim where there's different shittas. Many paiskim held that one should start off with the candle because there is a limit in the Gemara. So to start off with a candle and then switch to a flashlight or use electricity in the room. Other paiskim held that mitchila, you could start off with a flashlight, you can start off with electricity. Halacha lemaisa, one does not need to close the lights in the room if they're on. One does not have to use a ner. It is an inyan to use a ner based on the limra of the Gemara. But the most important point is to have some kind of light, whether it's a flashlight or some other thing of electricity, where it's giving off light that will give you light, enough light to check in the places you will need to search. Now, there's a discussion in the Paiskim about the chametz that's left at the end of the Zman Bior. There's chametz left in the garbage cans, in your private garbage cans, in the public garbage cans. And Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this, where he brings out the different svaras about it. It's an interesting tshuva to take a look at. And many other achrim wrote about this. In most cases where the chametz is being disposed into the city's garbage cans, even if the city did not come to pick it up, but it's no longer in your rishus, it's in the city's rishus, it's by the goyim, it's hefka by the goyim, and there's no problem. Now, this year, people have been asking, hopefully it won't be negeya, but if it will be negeya, that there's usually in many cities where the Yidden live, the special garbage pickups to make sure that our garbage is taken before the Seif Zman Bior. And it may not happen this year. As long as it's out of your shus into the public garbage, then it's not an issue. Now, after the bedika, I did my bedika, which again, as we mentioned yesterday, the bedika is basically, based on the way we understood from Shlomo Zalman, is basically a checklist. I'm going around the house, checking and making sure that whatever needs to be cleaned was cleaned. Making sure that the chametz that I'm not going to be using, that I'm leaving in the house, I'm selling to the guy, is locked up and closed off. The cabinets that have the chametz de kelim are being closed and sealed shut that no one will come to use them by mistake. All that is fine. The question is, so after the bedika, what do we do now? I have some chametz which I'm leaving over for tomorrow morning. I need to put that away in a safe place. We need to make sure that it's put in a safe place, that children won't get to it or it won't fall down, won't get lost, has to be put away safely. The chametz that I'm leaving to do shreif on the next day also has to be put away in a safe place that it won't fall and get lost. As an Eitzah, there are many people that are home now and home for Pesach, and some people are unfortunately not well, and it's hard for them to clean. Any room or any area of the house which one is not planning on using on Pesach is a very simple Eitzah. Just close the door, close the area off, and include it in the Mechira and do what's called the Mechira Yud Gimel. Mechiras Yud Gimel is that it's being rented out, that area is being rented out to the guy from the 13th of Nisan, and then there's no Chiyuv Bedika upon the person, which we'll discuss a little more later when we talk about Mechiras Chametz. Now, after the Bedika, says the Shulchan Aruch, Achar HaBedika, Miyad B'layla Yivatlenu, one needs to do Bittul. What is Bittul? So the Shmur explained to us, Bittul is working B'Toyras Hefker. A person is being mafkir whatever chametz he has in his shoes, and he's considering it as if it's like dirt, no value, it's absolute no value of him. But it has to be done in a real way. Bittul means He fully believes this, and this is afra to him. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah stress that one has to say the Lashon Bittul in a Lashon that he understands. It has to be in a Lashon that he speaks, a language that he speaks, and a language that he understands. Saying it in Hebrew or saying it in Aramaic, Kochamira v'chamia, Kochamira, any type of chamis, the isi bereshusi that's in my possession, the lechazite that I did not see, v'lei bi'arti I did not destroy, li batal should be nullified, v'lehevik afradara. If he says it in this lashon and not understanding what he's saying, he's not yoytze bittul. Now, even though midaraisa bittul alone is enough, but as we mentioned yesterday, that the chachamim were misakein, we do both. We did our bedika, we searched for the chametz, which the chametz that we found, we're going to burn the next day. And the chametz that we did not find, the loy chazite, the loy biarte, the chametz that I did not see and I did not find, that I'm doing bittul on, I'm being mevatel. Now, the next morning, on Erev Pesach, we do shreifas chametz. We burn the chametz. Shreifas chametz is a form of bit of tashvisu, as the pasuk says, tashvisu. Now, hashbasa could be one in a few ways. It could be through bittul, could be through bior, burning it. And this is the sugya we have over here on the Daladon base, where Rashi says that from the fact that it's tashvisu not tivaru, hashbasa the levi hashbasa. Tosis over there asks a few questions on Rashi, and he learns that midaraisa bittul alone is enough. Mitam the ma'achash abilei have a hefka v'yotzim erishusai. And then we have the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Aleph, where Rabbi Yehuda tells us ein bi'ar chametz illustrate. And if we take a look at the Mishnah over there, it's actually a machlekes. The Chachamim are of the opinion that one does not need to burn the chametz. One could be mefarev v'zorei l'ruach. They could crumble it up into crumbs and throw it to the wind or throw it into the ocean. Any form of bittul will be enough. Flush it down the toilet. Get rid of it. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's davka through sreifa. Here we have the Rambam. The Rambam seems to paskin like the Chachamim, that one could fulfill the din of bir chametz in any of these ways of getting rid of the chametz. The Torah, however, brings down Rabbi Yehuda. The Torah brings down the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda of ein bir chametz al sreifa. It brings down the Rishonim that paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. If we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber seems to paskin like the Chachamim, that one does not need to davka do sreifa. However, the Ramah writes, v'haminag l'sarfa, the minig is to burn it. The Rishash in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, goes a step further. And he says that not only is there a din shreifa, but the shreifa should be done with eitzim, with wood, dafka with wood, which could be another reason for why we use that wooden spoon, so that there's wood in the fire that's burning when we burn the chametz, the wooden spoon. There's a very interesting Rishash, once we're discussing this, where the Rishash earlier in the Masechta Pesachim, he says that since the mitzvah of bir chametz begins 30 days before Pesach, when one eats chametz within 30 days before Pesach, there'll be a mekayim the mitzvah, bir chametz. He asked, according to Yehuda, that ein bir chametz al b'sreifa, how are you fulfilling the mitzvah, bir chametz? Says the Shash, because the digestive system of a person is similar, the way it breaks it down and destroys it is like esh, like sreifa. It burns the food, it's like sreifa. So he says, but what about according to Rabbi Yehuda that it needs to be with eitzim? So he quotes the pasuk, "Ki Adam eitz hasadahu." Man is compared to an eitz, and with that they fulfill every time one eats chametz. Now these days before Pesach, every time someone eats chametz, every time someone eats chametz, they're fulfilling this mitzvah of bir chametz. There's different discussions that come up based on this Rishash. this long Michas Yitzchak discussed the different interesting topics. But this Machlekes, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, the Michas Chinuch explains with the Chakira we mentioned yesterday. The Chakira of whether the Mitzvah Tashbisu is a Sheva Al Tasa or it's a Kumva Asi. Similarly, the Chakira, the Michas Chinuch class, Rab Chaim, stells it to the Machlekes of Yudin Rabbanan. There's a Marshal in Tshuva where the Marshal says that Noigin La'olam Las is Maduvit Pnei Atzmai. The Shreibis Chametz should be a bonfire by itself. And that's why it's good to burn it in your chatzar and on your house, because you should not be Nehenna from it, you should not benefit from it. The Beis Yosef also seems to bring down a similar idea. He says that even though it's still before this man of Isser, however, and it's mutad v'nehenah, however, it should be burnt in a way and burnt in a fire by itself that one's not being nehenah from it at the time of the shreifa. So we need to build a fire. We need to set up a fire that is being burnt just for burning the chametz, and we're not being nehenah from this fire. So this is the shreifas chametz that we do on Erev Pesach in the morning. The Hagos Maimnes brings out a Shitas Rishonim that the meaning was to burn the chametz lel yadalit miyad achar bedika. After one does the bedika, they should burn the chametz. And the reason for this is so that there's no chance of losing the chametz and running into an issue that the chametz is lying somewhere in my house. However, the Ramah quotes this as ach im reitzel esarfai miyad achar bedika. The Ramah actually says that one has the permission to follow this Shita. However, in the Darkei Moshe says, Vili Nira, that since Sreivas Chametz, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, is learnt out from Noisar, and Noisar has to be burnt during the day, so too Sreivas Chametz must be during the day. And that's the Aruch HaShulchan over here also. He explains that just like Noiser is with Shreifa, so also Chametz is with Shreifa, that's what the Gemara says. And therefore, the Inyan Zeh, we learn out from Noiser that's Davka during the day, because Kachim were burnt during the day. And he writes more, he says that if one wants to burn it after the Dika, in order that there shouldn't be a problem of the Chulda schlepping it, it's not Likuda, not Likuba, there should be other. But again, the meaning became that we burn it on Erev Pesach in the morning. Another reason the Mishmur brings down for why we do it, why we burn in the morning, is because since we will need to do again bittul on the chametz in the morning, if we're going to burn it at night, we may forget to do the bittul in the morning. There's also a meaning that at Shreifas chametz, there are people that burn the Dalet Minim, Hashanis that's left over since was done already a mitzvah with it, so kind of another mitzvah with those items. Some people save their Hafrashas Challah from during the year to burn it by the Shreifas Chametz. As a suggestion, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're going back for Pesach to Chutzlart, you should not do that because many, many times people forget to get rid of it before Pesach, and then they're left with chametz, real chametz in their rishos. They may not want that. So we burn the chametz erev Pesach in the morning. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'toyv lachzo levat le'pam acheres. After the shreivas chametz, we do a bittul a second time. We do a bittul a second time before the beginning of the sixth hour. Because once the sixth hour comes, it becomes asabano, and once it's asabano, one cannot be mevatelit. So the bittul in the morning, we need to make sure that we mevatelit before the sixth hour, because from chatzais it's asamidai raisa, from 2 hours before that chazal asked the ba'achila, and from 1 hour before chatzais chazal asked the ba'ano. Once it becomes asabano, one cannot be mevatelit. Says the Ramah, the ain levatle bayoim el achash sorah fachometz that one should not burn the chametz. One should not be mevatel until the shreifas chametz takes place. If I'm mevatel before the chametz actually got burnt, then I'm burning dirt. What am I burning? I'm not being mekayim the mitzvah. So if I want to be mekayim this lechatchila of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Ramah, this minig of being machmer, like the Shitas of Yehuda, of bir chametz b'shreifa, so therefore I need to wait before I mevatel it to have the chametz burnt. And the shear that should be burnt enough that it's not roi v'achilas kelev. So therefore, one should not wait for the last second to burn the chametz erev Pesach. One should make sure to go out early enough that he has time to take a size of chametz and throw it into the fire. And the fire will burn it enough that it will become not roi, not fit for achilas kelev. And then he'll still have time to be mevatel whatever chametz he may have in his rishus that he did not find or that he did find and he lost and he did burn. That's the bittul of Erev Pesach in the morning. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Dain Fisher pointed out also that when people pour different types of poisonous gas and fuels into the fire, it becomes nifsa me'achilas kelev before it gets burnt. So you already fulfilled the bir chametz with destroying it in another way than shreifa. And again, you're not accomplishing the idea of fulfilling the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Similarly, when throwing it into the fire in a plastic bag, the plastic bag melts and then makes also the chametz not fit for the consumption of a kelev. And again, he's not being mekayim the mitzvah. So you should take the chametz out of the plastic bag, throw it into the fire, let it burn, and then once it's burnt enough, he says the bittul. It's kedai that all the members of the family should say the nusach of Koch Amira, since it's possible that someone has some of their private chametz stashed away. The difference between the bittul that we're saying after the bedikas chametz and the bittul that we're saying in the morning, at night we're saying a bittul on the chametz that I did not see, I did not find. However, in the morning, I'm saying even the chametz which was chazite, chametz that I saw, the chametz that I planned on burning, but for some reason didn't get there. On all chametz, I mean, mevatel all chametz that may be in my rishus. There is a yavitz that seems to say that one should first do the bittul and then burn the chametz. However, as we mentioned before, the svara of the Ramah, which is different than the Siyavitz, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, who is matmiya on that type, on that shita. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, one should first be serif the chametz and then do bittul chametz. Now the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Tov Lamed Vav something interesting. Shulchan Aruch says that if you have someone going, it's going to be traveling, or he's going out on a caravan, and he's not leaving anyone over in his house to check to search for the chametz the night before Pesach. So if it's within 30 days, zakok livdak, he needs to check. He needs to do a bedikah before he leaves. The Mishbura tells us that it's without a bracha. Why? The takarnes chachamim to make a bracha on the bedikas chametz is only on a bedika that's being done lel yedalad, the night of the 14th. Because the fi shemashu moitze be bedikasai hu matzmiya kdei levar lemocha nimtze da bedika hu ascholas abir. Like we mentioned yesterday, the lashon bir is because this is the beginning of the burning. It's the beginning of the burning of the bir chametz. So therefore, the lashon is a good lashon. Now the So therefore, the bedika that's being done earlier, if one needs to do a bedika earlier, now there's an interesting discussion now that the Mechitzas Yitzchak discusses. If I'm doing a bedika without a bracha, do I need to put 10 pieces of bread out? That minig that we mentioned earlier about putting 10 pieces of bread out, well, if the reason for the minig is because it might be a bracha of atala, no bracha is being made. If the reason is because if I don't find anything, I'm just not going to do a good bedika, then perhaps one should put out pieces of bread now also. Halakha l'maaseh, if someone's doing a bedika at a time when they're not making a bracha, they do not need to put out 10 pieces of bread. Now, the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Shaar Tzion have an interesting discussion about if this shaila could be negated in other areas of halacha. I could appoint the shliach to do the bedika for me the night before Pesach with a bracha, or I could do the bedika today myself. I could be kind of the mitzvah bedika today without a bracha. What's better? Is it better mitzvah bo yosemi b'shluchai, or it's better to do with the shliach with a bracha? And that's a discussion over here in the Shaar Tzion, where he says it's better to do bismanai because of a bracha. But over here, he says the marshal might not have to make a bracha. And the Shaar Tzion brings interesting right from Tayyar Marum, which is a separate discussion. Halacha l'maisa, someone who's leaving their house and is doing a what's called a mechiras yid gimel. Mechiras yid gimel means that they're renting out their house to the guy from the 13th. Therefore, when the night of the 14th comes, it's no longer by him in his rishos. He has no chiyah bedika when he leaves the house, and he will not have to do a bedika in the house before he leaves. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that we want that everyone should do a bedika every year. Kadesh le'techalik bein bedika le'bedika. If 1 year I will not do a bedika, so then the next year I may think back and say, you know, it's only last year I didn't do a bedika. Why do I need to do a bedika? And you'll forget to do a bedika. So therefore, we want you to do some sort of a bedika every year. So one who's not home the night of the 14th, he's away from home, and he did what's called the smechiras yigimah, which patted him from a bedika in his own home, wherever he may be, over there, he should do a bedika. Over there, he should check the room that he's staying in. If he has a car, check the car. Which is, there's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim. Is when I do a bedik in the car, do I make a bracha or not? Mitzat echad, it's a din in the bias. Mitzat sheni, my car could be very similar to a bias. It's very similar to a bias. Some people spend a lot of time in their car before Pesach, especially eating. So Rav Shimon Eider brings down for a mishnah that if you would need dafka bias, so then you would not make a bracha on the bedika of the car. However, I do remember seeing somewhere else there, a mishnah held that you could make a bracha if you're doing bedika on the car alone. But again, the best thing would be is that to do a bedika on in your suitcases, the room you're staying in, the car that you have, or whatever it may be, and be included in the bracha that the Baal HaBayis they stay by is making. Listen to his bracha, then go to the bedika that you need to do. There is no din over here that you need to have a momentous dika bailus over here to be having the bedika. The bedika is totally in the seicher, is one that's renting, but doesn't have to be a bailus of momentous. It could be a bailus so that you're using it. This is the room that you're using it. So you don't need any fancy kinyanim with the shver and all that. There's another nidin in the Pai scheme, a very interesting nidin, which comes up. If let's say I'm in Chutz Laretz and I have chametz in Eretz Yisrael, does the din chametz go after the place where the chametz is, or goes after the bailam? A nafkamina would be, I forgot to do a mechiras chametz in Eretz Yisrael, and I now am in Chutz Laretz. Do I need to call a rav in Eretz Yisrael to do the mechiras chametz for me, so that my chametz in Eretz Yisrael will be sold from the zman that Pesach begins in Eretz Yisrael, or it's enough that I do mechiras chametz over here in Chutz Laaretz. The tshuva is oyneg yontem and simulam vav. He says the basa chemtze as linan. We go basa the chametz. Kimish chemtze who b'magim shu acher. If the chametz is in a place where it's after the zman iser, comes out sabah no. We don't look at the place where the bailam are standing over there. And he brings a riot. Similarly, the Kaf HaChaim seems to go with that opinion. And some other tshuvas also go with that opinion. However, mitzat sheni, there are many paiskim who hold, no, you go bust to the makim of the bailam. Therefore, even if this man, save zman beer, comes in Eretz Yisrael, and no longer can you do mechiras chametz in Eretz Yisrael, one can still do the mechira over here in Chutz Laaretz according to these paiskim. The mechasiyot was chayshish for both shittas, and the Maisha and others have a discussion about this and back and forth about it. Now let's just go on to one more point over here. Once the zman b'dikas chametz reaches, it's now the zman b'dikas chametz. We mentioned yesterday. The Zman from Deis Chametz is the beginning of the night. What's called Tzeitzek HaChavim. At Tzeitzek HaChavim, one should do the Bedikah. If he's Davni Mayriv, so Davni Mayriv first, and then go immediately home to do the Bedikah. But once the Zman Bedikah comes, so now there are certain dinim upon the person that he's not allowed to do. One of them is, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yizar Kaladim Shle Yaskol B'Shum Melacha. He should not begin work and eat until he does the bedikah. What's the gather? Any type of malacha that one gets caught up in. It's not the gather, the malacha of Shabbos, but a malacha that a person gets involved in. Mishbrua says that this is similar to the halachas in Simen Reish Lamed Beis. By the halachas of Mincha, where there's also Issa to begin doing Malacha, once it reaches the Zman Mincha, which Agav, these days that we're in right now, that many people are davening b'yechidus. So they have to be very careful from the halacha of not beginning a Su'uda, or beginning Malacha before Mincha, or Ma'arit. Normally you have a set minyan that you always daven in. So when you have a set minyan for Mincha, a set minyan for Ma'arit, we're not so worried that you'll get caught up and not daven mincha or ma'ari. But when you're davening at home, we don't have a set time and a set meaning. So one has to follow those halachas. They need a shomer, someone that will remind them to daven mincha or to daven ma'ari. But over there, the halacha tells us that there's an issa to bathe, there's an issa to take a haircut. So that will be true over here also. There's an interesting question going around that now people are not getting haircuts because the barber can't come in close contact with the person who needs the haircut. So what will the halacha be if Chas V'Shalom, this is going to last until Pesach and then Chol Moed, it's all over. Can I take a haircut on Chol Moed or during Sfira? What happens if it's over during Sfira? And now, I need a haircut. So we'll have to look into the Hilchos Avelos. This question comes up. The one who was not able to take a haircut before Pesach because of Avelos, Rachman Litzlan, and now comes the time of, now it's Chol Moed or Sfira. Can he take a haircut or not? Hopefully the Shiloh will not be Negea. So from beginning with this man of Bedikas Chametz, this Issa Malacha, which includes bathing, haircuts, and other types of malachas similar to this. And the Mishbru goes a step further and says it's not only from this man, from Tzitzak HaChavim, but even from a half an hour before this man. So in those places where the Noig, Tzitzak HaChavim, those places that the Noig, Tzitzak HaChavim, from 20 minutes after Shkia, so then the half an hour will be from 10 minutes before Shkia. The Noig 50 minutes after Shkia Tzeitzek HaChavim, so a half an hour before is from 20 minutes after Shkia. But beginning with a half an hour before the Zman Bior, there's the Issa already of doing Melacha. If one began the Melacha already in the Zman of Heter, then the Mishmur brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down. If you began it, you do not need to be mafsik, even though there is a Yesh Arim that holds that you should be mafsik. And the Ramaz is generally Iker. Mishmur says, put in Shar Malacha. Meaning that this halacha that Rama is saying, if you began the heter, you need to be mafsik, is not with the in the here for an hour. You can wait until the zman itself of tzeisik hachavir to be mafsik. The second halacha over here is v'lo yoichal, one should not eat from when the zman, from the zman of the digas chametz, or even a half an hour before the zman, so one is not supposed to eat. However, ti'ima ba'alma shari, a ti'ima ba'alma is mutter. A suda is also, a kaviyas is also, but ti'ima is enough, is mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan says something which other person do not bring down. He says, v'chein also lechol su'uda, he uses the lashon of su'uda. And then he says, v'zeo pas. Between a ti'ima and a not ti'ima. What's considered a ti'ima? Ti'ima is a snack. Snack would be bread, the volume of an egg or less, like the share of a kibetza, like a double kezayis, a double small matchbox. Fruits, vegetables, meat, cereal, even a larger amount are muta, as long as it does not sit down to eat it as a suda, as a meal. And also, this is only muta within the half an hour before the zman bedika. Once the zman bedika comes, and even these things, one should not eat. Drinking is permitted. Intoxicated drinks one should refrain from, as it's brought down in Halchas Mincha. That's the din of achila. The Shulchan Aruch also brings down a third halacha. By learning, one yizarik alim shleyaschem b'shem lach v'leiyachas shivdei v'afilu im yesh le'etz kavua lomayt. Even if he has a set time to learn, lo yomayt ashivdei, he should not learn until he does his bedika. The Sharitzin says that even though I the mishbru and machmir by achila and by malacha, by working and by eating within the half an hour before this man. But when it comes to learning, one could be makel in the half an hour before this man. Once it reaches this man itself, then one should refrain from learning and prepare himself and do the bedika. Mishmur has a discussion that perhaps is the difference between in the house or in the Beis Medrash, or perhaps the difference between a shir kavua and not a shir kavua, but halacha l'maisa, once it reaches the zman, one should stop learning and head towards doing the bedika properly. So these are the dinim, the negeya to the bedika aschamit. So today we finished up learning about the halachas of the bedika lel yudalit, and we moved on to the Erev Pesach in the morning, the mitzvah of we discussed the din bittul after the vedika and storing the chametz in a safe place. And then we moved on to Erev Pesach in the morning, where we'd be mekayim the mitzvah of sreifas chametz, and then the din bittul again in the morning after the chametz is burnt. And then we have the halachis of once the zman vedika begins, the issa of doing work, the issa of eating, the issue of learning. Now, many people are in situations where they have to work, they're at work, they're at office, they're at work, they can't just leave. They cannot just leave at the time when it's time for the bedika. So then the idea is, you do what you gotta do, but don't waste time. When you're able to, leave, go home, and do the bedika as soon as possible, because there's an Indian that the earlier in the night, we see this stress in the Paiskim and the Rishonim, that the earlier it's done in the night, there's definitely an Indian to it. So therefore, the more we can be makdim at the beginning of the night is what we should do. I'd like to just go back to the guidelines that we were discussing yesterday for the general cleaning of the house. And we mentioned that more or less any place where chametz may be brought to, if it's in the house, in rooms, storage places where chametz is stored, or that one goes into during the meal with chametz in the hands, any area or homes that have young children running around with chametz in their hands, any area that chametz could be brought to is what needs to be cleaned. Now, we said a very important rule yesterday that as long as the chametz was made, as long as the chametz is less than the share of kezias, which that's the situation in most cases, and it's mitunaf ketzas, it's dropped dirty, something which no one would just take it and put it in their mouth, there's nothing to worry about. So therefore, when it comes to chairs, tables, a couch, all one needs to do is take a wet cloth with any cleaning agent, any soap is fine, there's no need for bleach, wipe them down, and this will make whatever may be stuck to them not edible, and then we are not worried about someone coming to eat it by mistake. And it's unnecessary to take these things apart. There's no need to clean sparim and books we mentioned yesterday since no one's eating the crumbs that are left in them. However, it is suggested to check any safe or book that one plans to bring to the table so that that crumb won't end up in your food. Additionally, one can place a cover on the table and place the sparim on it so that no crumbs end up in the food. Benches, zmirais booklets should be put away for Pesach. As long as the clothing was washed with detergent, no checking of the clothing is required. Coat packets, children's coats that has been washed, assuming that it's likely the chametz has been put there throughout the year, should be checked for chametz before Pesach. But again, once it was washed, we're not really worried that that one's going to eat whatever chametz was left in that packet. You know the story of the Yishlaim Yid who wears the kittel twice a year, Yom Kippur and Lel Pesach. So Matzi Yom Kippur, there was some lekach being given out of shul, so he took what he put in his pocket, and then Lel Seder, he sticks his hand in his kittel pocket, and he pulls out a lekach. So just make sure you don't do that. So the kitchen dining room table should be washed well with soap. The table should then be covered with any type of cover. It could even be a plastic tablecloth. Unless you feel comfortable that you washed your table that well, then you don't even have to cover it. And put the tablecloth on top of this cover. There's no need to cash the tables. Lower shelves of clothing that can be reached by children holding food should be emptied, just wiped off, washed down, or wiped off. And that's enough. The higher shelves do not need cleaning. Obviously, in the kitchen is the most important room to clean in the house. So we're extra concerned that there should not be any at all chametz around, since it's the place where the Pesach food will be prepared and stored. And keep in mind, even a slight amount of chametz, is a speckle of chametz, which is mistakenly eaten, we were even on this of eating chametz on Pesach. Towels, oven mitts, important. Towels, oven mitts, and tablecloths that were used with chametz should be washed with detergent and then maybe used for Pesach. Does not need hot water run. Cold water is fine. Empty the pantry shelves and clean them well. There's no need to cover them. Countertops should be kashered by cleaning them well and when dry. And, you know, we'll get back to, we'll discuss the kashering separately. The areas of the house, the kitchen that we have to cash, we'll discuss separately. We'll have a separate share on that. Other objects around the house, there's no need to cash your rings. However, if possible, don't wear them a day before or at least avoid contact with hot chametz. Clean the computer well with using spray unless you don't eat by your computer. Being that children put toys in the mouth, they should be washed and cleaned. Doesn't need any major washing, just with soap and water. Throw it in the bath with the kid, let him circle it around and it'll get washed. A high chair tray should be washed well, making sure to clean every spot. If it's possible, some prefer to get new bottles and sippy cups since it goes into the baby's mouth. However, as long as they were used with cold liquids only, it's not necessary to get new ones. And it's also best against pacifiers. If you get a new one, that's good. If not, just clean it well, and that's fine. Me and Shem will have a separate share on Agolas Kalim Kashmi around the kitchen, and we'll also discuss medicines and cosmetics in the next share. Tomorrow. Any questions? Yeah.
Garbage cans in America, that your private garbage cans, do you have to throw the garbage out of those cans, or you could just put your garbage from the house into the can with chametz in it?
So that's already, it's a discussion, because no one's going to eat the chametz from that garbage can. And you definitely be a mafkir, and it should have a din like pirurin, which is like crumbs which are not chashim and bustle by themselves. However, Ramesha doesn't want to rely on that alone. So if it's possible to get it out of your private garbage cans or get into a place where it's in the city garbage cans, is definitely better too. Could be this year, from what I understand, if this virus continues, we may have to really deal with this question. But again, there is room to be makel if it's in the garbage can downstairs waiting for the garbage company to come pick it up tomorrow morning. If we don't need to, then don't rely on it. In case of need, it's enough.
Rabbi, some questions from the group over here. So first of all, dish towels. Do we need new dish towels?
No, same idea. Dish towels, you wash it, it's fine. Dish towels, tablecloths. Someone just sent the message about new Caleb. I'm going to talk about that when we talk about Kashri, Mitzvah tomorrow. I hope to get to that. We're going to talk about, do you need to buy new Caleb or not? And which Caleb may be suggested to, and which one's not.
What about
Tivoli? What about Tivoli? This is a big question.
What about
Tivoli?
I know we spoke about it a little bit.
Okay, so Tivoli now, you're asking because right now there's an issue with Tivoli in the Caleb McVice, right? That's your question?
Yeah.
Okay, so it seems to be a difference between opinions between Rabbanim. There's some Rabbanim that hold that the Caleb Mikveh is like the worst spot in the whole city. This is where you're guaranteed to get the virus. And other Rabbanim are saying that if you wear gloves and one person at a time and you wash the Caleb off afterwards, it would be no issue. So therefore, there are some communities where they shut down the Mikveh, Caleb Mikveh, and some communities they did not. But either way, it probably would be better in the situation we're in to stay away from it and try to rely on one of the other etzes. One of the other etzes is if you have a guy, either you give it to the guy b'matana, the guy has to do a kinyan hagbo, has to pick it up, or you could do a kinyan kesef, you could sell it to the guy by asking the guy to give you some money, and now he owns the kelim. And then he's allowing you to use his Caleb. Or there's another Eitzah being going around, but this is a little more complicated because you have to know how to do it, that when you go to the store to buy the Caleb, have in mind that you're not being kind of the Caleb. Have in mind that you're just taking it home. The store is allowing you to use their Caleb. And that is not a problem. The best Eitzah is with the guy. If one could do it with the guy, that's the best date. And then Emir Tashem, when this whole situation's over, you'll get it back from the guy. Make sure you get it back from the guy and you'll table it. Going to the ocean, that is definitely a good Eitzah. Matter of fact, it's a good Eitzah.
There's
no virus
could you
in the ocean?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Can you sell the kelim with your mechiras chametz for people who bought new kelim for Pesach this year?
If the rav is masking to that would be a nice idea. But how are you going to use it until then?
I'm not using it until then. I'll do mechiras shukimel on my kelim, and I'll have my kelim. I could cook erev Pesach.
Okay, if your wife's masking for that, okay. Most women already start cooking earlier. But if the rub is masking, then 100%, you're right. You put it in. That's a brilliant idea. I'm for it.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, it's Rebbe. So why do you wipe down the couches?
Why do you wipe like that? Down?
What are you worried about?
So what you worry about is a piece of chametz, which is smaller than a kezayis, like a Cheerio or a piece of a pretzel, that might be stuck there, and you can take it and eat it by mistake. Crumbs, dust, you're not worried about. That we're not worried about. That's not what concerns us. What's concerning us is that you might come to eat a piece by mistake. So when you're wiping it down, what you're really doing is you're just searching to see that it's all that there's no pieces there. That's what you're doing.
Right, same at the top. Like that's like under the couch, under the cushions. It's on the top of the couch. You don't have to wipe it down. There's nothing there.
Right? I agree. Again, that's the rule. The rule is your goal is that there should not be pieces. You might come to eat by mistake. Now, if there's only adults in the house, there's less of a chance. You have children, they may find that Cheerio and they'll eat it. You don't want your child eating chametz on Pesach. I know Aram Chaim is thinking about what's the big deal. No? But okay. Again, that's also a discussion. Really is a discussion that... If how much I have to prevent my children from it, but we're not allowed to feed them, so that's for sure.
What about chametz in a hard-to-reach place, like underneath the couch? Move the couch?
So halachically, if the couch was there already for 30 days, you do not need to move the couch, especially if there's no chance that there's a kezayis of chametz there, and it's only a chance of the kezayis, which you might come to eat. Which I don't think that's a problem because probably whatever's under that couch or under the oven or under the stove, no one could reach, and it's probably dirty and dusty that even a baby wouldn't eat. So I don't think you need to move it. Okay.
Are you allowed to tovel in an ocean? Isn't it a zeichlin?
So you have to know the dinim. It depends on the waves and things like that. Before you do it, find out if the ocean by you is good enough for it or not. Okay.
Okay, Ashikach, everybody. Thank you so much, Rebbe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.